Welcome to Mosaic Church, and thank you for joining us here online. To prepare for today's message, we encourage you to utilize the Mosaic Cincinnati app. There you can view the message notes, put in prayer requests, and so much more. Enjoy the message.
And so today, we're going to answer the question, why do we believe the Bible? Like, why? Really? Why is it our go-to? Why do we follow it? Why do we listen to it? Why do we think that it's more than just a book? Why do we believe the Bible? Now, a disclaimer to all the talks in this series is that you will probably still have questions after this series is over, right? And that's just the nature of God. He's impossible to completely explain. He's bigger, he's stronger, his ways are higher than we can possibly understand. And that's just the nature of faith, is trusting when we don't see. And the notion that it's possible to answer every question about God doesn't really line up with the nature of God. But I believe, and this is what I want to encourage you with today, that the parts of God that have been revealed are more than enough for us to trust and put our total confidence in Him. The Bible says that when you seek God with all of your heart, wholeheartedly, you will find Him. Isn't that a cool promise? And man, I love to just bank my life on the promises of God, and that's one that you can take to the bank all day long. You know, and you might be searching, you might be seeking, you're not sure if you believe God because of some things that have happened in your life, you're not sure the Bible is legit or real, and I would just encourage you to ask away. God can handle your questions, He can handle your doubts, He knows what's going on in your life, and when you seek Him with all of your heart, you're going to be found by Him. And so today, let's dive in. Why should I believe the Bible? This is a big deal. I heard a joke one time that it went like this. A father and a son were talking, and the son says to the father, "Dad, look at this beautiful sunset that God painted today." And the son says, "Yeah, Dad, and did you know that He painted this sunset with His left hand?" And the dad says, "Well, why the left hand? Why not the right hand?" And the son says, "Because Jesus is seated on His right hand." You know, last week I had a really good dad joke for you, and so I'm trying to one-up each week on the dad jokes. And so that's a total Bible joke, and so the Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. You get it. And so, yeah, it's horrible. But this is a really good example of why it's important when it comes to the Bible to really understand it. Because sometimes we hear things and we thought one thing, but the Bible meant another. And so this is really important. And when it comes to the Bible, there couldn't be a wider range of people's experiences with it. And as a pastor, I've encountered over the years people that have never read the Bible and don't know any stories from it. You wouldn't believe, even in our great country, which I love, but with churches on many corners of our community, we still meet people all the time that have never owned a Bible, that have never opened a Bible, that don't know any of the stories in the Bible. And so there's people like that. There's people that have been in church their whole life, but have never read it for themselves. And they're really shy to tell you that. They're kind of embarrassed. It's like, I really don't know much about it. There are people that I know that are not believers. They don't follow Jesus, but they know the Bible better than most believers that I know. There are people who say they love the Bible. Oh, the Bible's great, but don't really know much about it. There are people that know just enough Bible to be dangerous with it and use it in really goofy ways. Have you ever known somebody like that? Maybe you know two or three famous stories from the Bible, you know, Noah and the ark and Jonah and the fish, but that's about it. There are people that believe that the Bible is just a good historical book, that it's a moral book of teachings, that it's just, it's good to follow. There are people that believe that the Bible is incredibly offensive and harmful. There are people who are content completely with their amount of Bible knowledge and don't really see any reason to keep learning or to push or to study or to dig deeper. And then I know people that hang on every word of the Bible like it's air to their lungs. and you look at their Bible, if they have a physical one and it's worn out and the pages are tattered and it's highlighted and it's gone through life with them. And so there's all kinds of experiences about the Bible, and you might be sitting here today and be like, Joe, I've tried. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense. I can't put the dots together. And I just want to say to you today that, hey, you're in the right place. It's okay. And let's unpack this. You know, maybe when you're growing up, you heard the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you wondered to yourself, you know, well, how do I know just because the Bible tells me? Or you sang the song in VBS, you know, the B-I-B-L-E. Any memories coming back? Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E, Bible, right? And you're like, you know the songs, you know the stories, but there's still a little lingering doubt. You read an article online, you heard somebody say something one time, and you're like, is it for real? And so this message is for you today. Because it's one thing to know about the Bible, and it's a whole other thing to believe the Bible is really God's word. Two different things. And I want to submit to you today that it can't be both. It can't just be a book and be God's word. If it's God's word, it changes everything. If it's just a book, take it or leave it. But we're really hot button topic sensitive these days, right? Whatever the hot button topics in culture are, it's like, you know, people want to know, what do you believe about that? But as a believer and as a follower of Jesus, the answer to that question, whatever, you know, what do you believe about fill in the blank? The answer is, well, what does the Bible say? But the problem is before you are able to ask and hear the answer to that question and be ready for the response to that question, you have to come to grips with, how do I know that the Bible is really God's word? Why is this such an important question? Listen, because to someone who doesn't believe in God or know God, saying to them, well, the Bible says so, doesn't mean much to them. If you say the Bible says so to them, they're like, who cares, right? A lack of belief in the Bible and the fact that it's God's word to us today, you know, that changes the conversation completely. Why try to convince somebody who doesn't have faith in God with God's word? Doesn't make sense. But if it is true, and if it is God's word, then that's the central point of the whole discussion. Because if it is his divinely inspired word from God through men to you and me, then it changes everything. And if it is God's word, then it doesn't make sense to pick and choose, to be like, oh, it's just a good book that we should follow. But, you know, it's like, if it's not God's word, who cares? So I thought it would be a good question to answer in this series, why do we believe the Bible? And so let's dig in today. Follow along in your notes. You can fill in the blanks. You can take more notes. The notes are on your chairs or also in the app. But the first reason why we don't just believe the Bible is God's word, but we follow it, we listen to it, we hang on every word of it, is because of the writer's claim. The people that God used to bring us the scripture literally claimed that it was God's word, that they were passing on words from God himself to you and me. In 2 Timothy 3:15 through 17, it says, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. So this is Paul speaking to Timothy. All scripture is inspired by God, which means that it's God-breathed. It's from him, not from Paul. And is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the Bible itself explicitly says that it's inspired. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says it like this. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very word of God, which, of course, it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. Now, for any man to say, hey, the words that I'm giving you are not human words, they're the very words of God, that's a pretty big claim. And you either believe them, or the only other option in the world is to think they're crazy. There's no in between. Does that make sense? Because people who claim to speak for God, who aren't speaking for God, have a screw loose. Let's just be honest. So there's no middle ground. It either was inspired in what they said, the very words of God, or it wasn't. 2 Peter 1:21 says, above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. What do we take from this? Because these are writers in the New Testament talking about the whole of Scripture, and they're saying that it's all comes straight from the Holy Spirit, not from men, but from God. And so it came from God through men, not from men about God. And this is a huge foundational principle in understanding the Bible that the world just doesn't understand. That people, when they talk about the Bible as just a historical book, they're not considering it the actual words of God spoken through human individuals. Now, if this were the only reason that we had to take the Bible as God's word, then it might be tough to just assume that we could trust the people that we didn't know thousands of years ago and what they wrote, and that we're just going to trust that now. But it's deeper than that. It really is. For instance, in the Old Testament, over 2,000 times in the Old Testament, there are phrases such as, and God spoke to Moses, or the word of the Lord came to Jonah, or God said. And so, you just read it, and over and over, it's like God said this, and the Lord said this, and there was conversation happening with multiple different people all across the stories. For instance, in Jeremiah 1:6-9, O sovereign Lord, I said, I can't speak for you. I'm too young. The Lord replied, don't say I'm too young, for you must go wherever I send you and say whatever I tell you. And don't be afraid of the people, for I will be with you and I will protect you. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then the Lord reached out and touched my mouth and said, look, I have put my words in your mouth. This is powerful, because when the writers are penning these words, they're not just making it up. They're writing the very words of God himself. There was a very personal connection claimed between God and many different people in the Old Testament. And it wasn't just that one person claimed it. For instance, some religious books out there were written by like one person or based on one prophet. Or based on one person's teaching. But the Bible's not like that. People saw the miracles that God performed. People spoke through many different people at many different times and in many different ways throughout generations. And then Jesus himself shows up and claims that the scriptures were spoken by God himself. In Matthew 22:29-23, it says, but Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken since you do not understand the scriptures. So this is Jesus speaking, obviously, about the Old Testament. So you don't understand the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. So he's answering these questions that they had in that day. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God? Underline that, because that's the key phrase here that we're trying to communicate. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, all people that God spoke to, by the way. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. And so it wasn't just Paul that said the scriptures are inspired. It wasn't just the prophets in the Old Testament. It wasn't just the writers that said they were speaking for God. Jesus himself, the Son of God, the one that died on the cross for you and me and paid the sin for the sins of all mankind, he himself showed up and verbally, publicly, in front of everybody else, said that the scriptures in the Old Testament were God's word and spoken by God and not by man. Are you following me? And so the writers and Jesus himself claimed that God's word, the Bible, is God's word. It's amazing. One scholar said that to deny the full inspiration of Scripture, that all of Scripture is God's word, is to set aside the foundational witness of Jesus Christ. In other words, it doesn't make sense to believe in Jesus and not the rest of Scripture. Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. But the cool thing today is we're only on point number one. Don't worry, I'll get you out of here before 1 o'clock. Just joking. But we don't only have the claims of the writers. There's a lot of other reasons why we believe that Scripture is God's word. Number two, the second reason that we're going to unpack today is its uniqueness. The Bible is completely unique. You know, one way that it's unique is its authorship. It wasn't written by just one author. It was written through many authors, multiple authors, across many, many years. And we'll talk about that more in a minute. The other unique thing about the Bible and the message of Christ is salvation by grace through faith. There's not another religion in the entire world that is not based on your works by how you get to heaven. It's completely unique. Another, unique factor about Scripture is the resurrection. It doesn't happen in any other religion in the world. It's a distinctive identifying factor. Another difference is that in the Bible, in the story of the Bible, God is not far off. He's personal. He talks to people. He has grace for people. He becomes the incarnate, in-flesh Savior of mankind. It's completely unique. Another unique thing about Christianity and following God in the Bible is that you can be assured completely of your salvation. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you're going to spend eternity. God makes it very clear. That is completely unique to Christianity. You'll talk to people in other religions and they have no idea. They hope that they did enough good in this life to make it into the next one. It's completely unique. Another thing that's unique about the Bible compared to other religious books is that it bears truthful representations of people and heroes along with their faults. You read other accounts of history and it glorifies heroes. It doesn't talk about their faults or their downfalls. But the Bible is very honest. For instance, King David, great man of God, but he messed up royally. And it shares the good, bad, and the ugly. Another thing that is unique about the Bible is it's the best-selling book of all time, bar none. Between 5 and 7 billion copies have been distributed of the Bible. Billion. Sales estimates for other printed religious texts, for instance, like the Quran of the Muslim faith, only about 800 million copies. And so there's not even any comparison. The Book of Mormon, about 190 million copies. And so you compare those with 5 to 7 billion copies of God's word, there's something different about it. It's unique. There are 13 countries in the world where the Bible is completely illegal. You cannot have one. You cannot distribute one. You know why? Because its message is dangerous. It's dangerous in the best way possible. Many other countries in the world, almost up to 50, where it's restricted in some way, where the Bible does not have complete freedom. And so the Bible is unique. No other book in the world has received as much glorification or as much pushback. It is completely unique. Number three, the unity of the message in the Bible from start to finish. What do we mean by this? We mean that from Genesis to Revelation, it's one story with one purpose, and it all connects together. It's one big, huge love letter from God to you and me. It's the story of God throughout creation from the beginning all the way till the end, past our time. And every single thing that has happened all connects together, and it all points to Jesus. And what makes that a miracle is that the Bible was written by approximately 40 authors over a period of 1,600 years. And so the message of God coming through 40 different people stretched out over that much time for it to be so unified in message from start to finish, there's no other explanation besides the miraculous. There's no other explanation. Because the men and the different people who wrote the scriptures were quite diverse. For instance, Moses was a political leader, Joshua a military leader, David a shepherd, Solomon a king, Amos was a herdsman and a fruit picker, Daniel was a prime minister, Matthew a tax collector, Luke a medical doctor, Paul was a rabbi, Peter was a fisherman. All over the map. I don't know about you, but when I look at our leaders and governments these days, people don't work together that well. And so for all these different people from all these different backgrounds, all these different countries, the Bible was written in a variety of different circumstances. It was written on three different continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. Yet the great themes of Scripture and the storyline is completely maintained from start to finish. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. There's unity throughout. And there's no way apart from the Holy Spirit's supervising the writing of the Bible that this could have been accomplished. And that's why when we hear Jesus say things in like this in Revelation 22:13, when he said, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end," that we're like, okay, it makes sense. He was there at the beginning. He's going to be there at the end. He knows what's going to happen. He wrote the story. He gave it to us through men, through the Holy Spirit. There's unity of the message. The fourth reason that we believe that the Bible is really God's word, and I know this might kind of feel like a class today, but it's okay. We need this. You need to know. Why do we believe the Bible? But the fourth thing is that the mere fact that it has survived like it has throughout the ages. The fact the Bible has been preserved in the way that it has is miraculous. The Old Testament, from the time that it was written, there is an unbroken historical chain of care provided for the text throughout Jewish history. And then any questions that people had about how true it was or how accurate it was were all answered when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. You can look it up online. It answered every question they had. At one point, people weren't sure if certain nations that are mentioned in the Bible, like the Hittites, existed. Well, guess what? Archaeologists found the evidence. So over and over and over throughout history, it's been proved, it's been verified, and it has survived in remarkable, amazing clarity. The New Testament, you might not know, but the New Testament, there are 5,500 Greek manuscripts for the New Testament. That's more than any other ancient work by far. Like, it's not even close. So all the works, the ancient works that we learned about in school and that we study from and by Homer and all these other different Greek people, man, the number of Greek manuscripts that were preserved from the New Testament dwarf those numbers completely. And so the fact that anybody would bring up and question, you know, whether or not we have the real thing, when you talk to historians that have unpacked this and have criticized it and studied it and broken it down, you know, no other work has stood up to the criticism that the Bible has stood up to. There's so much evidence, it's overwhelming. We can be assured today that we have the real thing. The real thing, it's been preserved. It's the most criticized, the most studied, the most broken down, the most explained book of all time, and nothing ever even comes close. And if it could have been explained away or dismantled, it would have been a long time ago. The arguments that people try to use that try to break down the veracity of the Bible are weak at best. The biggest tactic of the enemy of God, the devil, is to dismantle the word of God. But to all his efforts, to all the enemy's efforts to dismantle it, it's still here. And it's blazing forward and pushing forward at a faster rate than it ever has in the history of mankind. It can't be stopped. Number five, the fifth reason that we believe that the Bible is God's word is because of all the prophecies fulfilled. To me, this is one of the most compelling arguments because there is no way that anyone could have orchestrated this but God. So just picture this. Jesus shows up, you know, and to the Pharisees and these people, he's just a random dude from the town of Nazareth, right? And he shows up in church or the synagogue one day, and he says, hey, can I have the scroll of Isaiah? And so they pull it out, and in Luke 4, 17 through 21, it says, the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll, and he found the place where this was written, and the words that were in front of him were written 700 years before Jesus stood there. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released. He has sent that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolls up the scroll, he hands it back to the attendant, and he sat down. All the eyes of the synagogue or the church looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. He said, the scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Jesus was saying, it's me. What was written about 700 years ago, it's me. And then Jesus went on to do all the things which were mentioned in that verse. Blind people saw. Dead people rose. Crippled people walked. Jesus himself rose from the dead. All the things that were said about him happened, right? They all happened. 300 prophecies that had been made about Jesus hundreds of years before. 300 prophecies about Jesus alone in the Bible, and every single one of them came true. Every single one. And so it's not just like baseless reasons why we believe this is God's word. It's because what was said was going to happen actually happened. Here are some of my favorites. That Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem of a virgin. That John the Baptist was going to prepare the way. That Jesus was going to be betrayed, and there were specific details about it. That Jesus was going to be crucified and how he was going to be treated before he was crucified. Jesus himself predicted his own resurrection. And all of these things that were predicted happened just as the Bible said they were going to happen. And so because of these reasons, it's impossible to really study Jesus and all the claims that were made about him and the claims that he made about himself and just think, oh, he was just a good teacher. He was just a good rabbi. Oh, he was a good dude. Oh, yeah, we should really follow the teachings of Jesus because it's just all about, you know, love and peace and you know, it just makes you feel good. It's so much deeper. It's so much deeper. He wasn't just a good dude. We only have three options to believe. He was either a liar, or he was crazy, or he was really the Lord of all. Those are the only options that we have because of all the things that were said. The sixth reason that we believe that the Bible is God's word is eyewitness accounts. In Luke 1:1-4, it says, many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They used the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Eyewitness reports. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. You can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. I love that. Luke, he comes and he's like, hey, this is all based on eyewitness accounts. I investigate it. He's like the investigative reporter of the time. Because he wanted people to know the real thing. And this is why this is a huge pillar of why we believe that Jesus really rose from the dead. You know, Christianity is the only religion with accounts of multiple eyewitnesses of key tenets of the faith. The only one. There were 40 authors. There was one story. It was consistent from beginning to end. And it was things that they saw with their own eyes. All the things written in the Old Testament, it was things that people saw with their own eyes. And not just the person who wrote it. All the people up on the mountain when Elijah battled the prophets of Baal, hundreds of people saw it. All the Israelites, 600,000 or however many you think there were, all across the Red Sea, they all saw it. And then all these people saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. It's amazing. You see, God moved on the behalf of an entire nation and people, and rather than just through one man. And so God's works and miracles from the beginning of Scripture to the end of Scripture were seen by nations. Nations. All 12 disciples saw Jesus after he was resurrected, and other followers, and 500 followers at one time saw Jesus after he was resurrected. And then there was Paul, which we talked about a couple weeks ago, that saw Jesus face to face on the road to Damascus. All the disciples, except for John, were martyred for their faith, for preaching Jesus and standing by the message they were preaching. I don't know about you, but I cannot believe that 12 guys were ready to die for their faith if it was not real. Can't believe it. I can't believe it. The only reason that they would die is for something true. And then last but not least, the reason why we believe the Bible is God's word is because of the fruit that we see of changed lives. The Bible changes people from the inside out. Anybody here has experienced that? Anybody? That you've read the words of Scripture, you've read the words of God's word, and it changed you from the inside out. Psalm 1:1 says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers, but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season." Their life changes. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Isn't that an amazing picture? That when we focus on God's word and get it in our heart, it changes our life from the inside out. John 6:63, Jesus said, "The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life." Love that. And so, what does this mean? It means the Bible is not just a book to be known. It's a living word to be experienced, to be lived out. Look around. Think about our missionaries that were here today. There are people all over the world who have been and are being transformed by the power of God's word. It's not just a book to read. It's God's word that rewrites us and our story. It's not just a collection of stories and thoughts. Why? Because when people see Scripture, when they read Scripture, they see what God is like. They see how everything points to Jesus. They see God's redemptive plan for the world. They see how to live. They see how to know God, and it changes everything. The hunger for God's word is without parallel. Man, I love the story that Amy told about the people who can't even read, but they developed these solar Bibles so they can charge during the day and they listen to it at night. And they're hungry for it. I don't think she mentioned, but a big portion of people that they give those audio Bibles to is this prison. And there's 60 or 70 ladies and 60 or 70 guys. And they're so happy to have these audio Bibles because they can't read. And they listen to them every single day. And God is giving them a purpose. And Marco and Amy have partnered with that prison and set up some bakeries inside the prison to give them a purpose to serve. And then they use the bread from the bakeries to help feed the kids at the schools. And out of a place of total darkness, a forgotten prison in a forgotten land, the Word of God is changing people's lives, giving them purpose, and transforming communities. It's an amazing thing. No other book has had that kind of impact without forced outside influence. No other book in all of history has done that. Why? Because when we read the Bible, we learn that it rewires our mind, that it guides your path, that it protects you and it keeps you pure, that it strengthens you, that it shapes you like a potter shapes clay on the potter's wheel, that it gives you life, that it's the ultimate source of wisdom, that it's the foundation for your life, and without it, you will not stand. Because when the winds come and the storms come and life happens, if your life is not built on the Word of God, it's going to come crashing down like a house built on sand. Amen? It's the ultimate measure of right and wrong. And it's meant to be lived out and followed, not just known. It changes people's lives. It's changed my life. Now, only you can experience the Bible for you. And this is where the plot clots, because you could listen to me and my reasons all day long, but until you encounter the Word of God for yourself, it'll just be my words. And the cool thing about God is He doesn't want you to stand on my words. He wants you to experience His Word. Amen. I love the story, and I'm closing with this today, I promise. I love the story of Craig Groeschel. He's a pastor down in Oklahoma. And when he was in college, living the college life, running from Jesus, completely unchurched, you know, didn't go to church, didn't know anything about the Bible, somebody gave him one of those little green New Testament Gideon Bibles. Do you remember those? Little pocket New Testaments, probably in King James, which for a college student is like, what in the world are these words? You know, they don't understand it. But Craig took that Bible to his dorm, and in his loneliness, he began to read it, completely transformed his life, gave his life to Jesus, found a random church there in Oklahoma City, began attending. God transformed his life. Years later, went into the ministry, became a pastor, planted a church. Years later, had a team, and they're like, hey, let's, this thing called an app just came out on iPhone. Let's make a Bible app. So they make a Bible app. They didn't have anybody that knew how to make apps, but they hired a 19-year-old kid part-time. And this 19-year-old kid and some other people pounded out an app in the next few weeks, and they put it on the App Store in time for the launch. Today, over 500 million people have downloaded that app onto their phone all over the world in 1,750 languages. And more than ever, people are letting God's Word get in their heart and transform their life. And guess what? That whole platform that was built so that people all over the world can experience the Bible was done not for profit. $20 million have been poured into that project, and not $1 of profit taken in return. They do no advertising. They do no money-making schemes. It is 100% a gift to the world by people who know the transformative power of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. There's something different about the Bible. And I know full and well that all of my reasons that I gave you today might not have answered all of your questions. But if I could just beg you to maybe take 30 days or 60 days or 90 days and begin to pour yourself into Scripture and ask God a simple prayer. God, reveal yourself to me through these words. And I just want to challenge you. See what God does in your life when you come to Him with an open heart and an open mind. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for today's message. We look forward to having you back next week.